to say. So we'll be asking, where is the basis? If he does not have a basis in the Sharia, how do I run? So the basis of this is where the Prophet start, alayhi salatu wasalam, with the companions, all of them distributing the Quran like that. If we don't have, there is an innovation. It's not only that to be rejected, the one who does it is to be punished by Allah. It's time to be punished by Allah. It's not just that to be rejected. So it does not have a basis. And we have found from the Sunnah, Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba reported an asar from Umar ibn al-Khattab that once one of the governors in one of the cities, regions, that Umar radiallahu anhu appointed as a governor, they gathered the people once and said they want to make adhkar, they want to pray for the Khalifa, Umar ibn al-Khattab. They want the Ummah to progress with the intention, good or bad. Good intention. They want Ummah to progress. Things are not working well. We want this, and all that. So when Umar heard radiallahu anhu, he called that governor, called those people, and they invite them, ask them, who told you to do what you do? Told the servants to get me a barb there, a nice wire that can flog somebody. He asked the person to be flogged. He said, where did you see, from where did you get what you are doing? So this is terrible that people go there and say they are making dua. It does not have any basis in the Sharia. Except in the cases where the Sharia have permitted things like that, like Salatul Kusuf. Because somebody can say, you say it's not permissible to gather. You say, yes, it's not permissible. What about Salatul Kusuf? This is not for me. That has a basis. I ask you the same question we have asked you before. Ha'alehi amruhu, does it have the authority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Definitely, you say, okay, Ida is permissible. You say, it's not permissible to raise our voices in Azkar. What about Talbiyah will make him hajj? It's simple. Does it have the authority of the Prophet? If you say yes, it's permissible. If you say, no, we used to do it, people used to do it. You say, no, those people are not the reason. You didn't say, in as much as people are doing it. It's a laysa alayhi amruna. It does not have our sanction. It's a word. It will be rejected. So it's a very simple matter, no matter how emotional people become about things like that. So and since the time they have been bringing the Quran down, what has happened? Something has happened. Even when, unfortunately, people in those situations, they don't read the Quran properly. People race to complete the Quran. Especially if the hosts, the unfortunate hosts, because most cases these hosts do not know that those things are wrong. Those same so-called malams are those who make those things, who beautify those things for them, making them to feel that it is Islam when it is not Islam. Allah understand. So the host, if he had placed that anyone who finishes a juz, usually ajza, juz, anyone who finishes a juz will have 1,000 naira. Can you see the people in action? He finished one juice, 1,000 naira. Immediately, in 15 minutes, 1,000 naira. He collects another 1,000. This is the kind of thing. So who are they deceiving? The book of Allah? Or themselves? Surely themselves. وَمَا ظَلَمُونَ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. They're deceiving themselves. So those things are not permissible. There are aspects, there are things, and there are easy ways to make dua. But people do not exploit it. Sometimes because people do not know, and those same malams will never tell them. Because when they tell them, they think that their means of survival will be closed. If you tell the people the truth, does it mean that your means of survival will be closed? Have they forgotten that for وَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ بِكَتْبِ رِزْكِهِ وَعَجَلِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَكِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٍ, that their arzak had been written. If they told the people the truth, it will not increase it. If they didn't tell the people the truth, they'll be punished. It does not also increase it. Why not tell the people and still have your arzak that has been written for you? Like 40 days when you were in the womb, after you got into the womb of your mother. 120 days. It's been there, waiting for you. So why are you deceiving the people to get the same thing that you have to get? So those things are not permissible.
There are many periods. He said between Aran and Iqamah, there is dua la yurad. There is dua that is not rejected. When it is raining, there is dua la yurad. Dua is not rejected. When somebody is on safar, there is dua la yurad. With so many incidences that people do not make use of. Siyakuddik, when the cock crows, opportunity, because it says in an authentic hadith that it sees an angel, make dua. Always make dua. But the people fill their houses with pictures and dogs. So even when they make the dua, yes, the dua is made, but sometimes they do not even also make it at the right time. When they go for Hajj, they are doing a lot of innovation. They miss all the periods. Nafsat and all those people we are talking about, they leave Arafah in the most important time of Arafah. The most important time of Arafah that the dua is best answered is just shortly before Ghurub al-Shams. This is the time they are preparing to go out of Arafah. How is that? And in the morning of Yawm al-Jam'ah, at least when they leave Arafah on the night, they go and pass the night at Muzdalifah. After Salatul Subri, when the sun is beginning to rise, that's the time able men and women are supposed to leave Muzdalifah. That time, the period of Istijaba, they rush. They have already gone from the time of Salatul Subri. Have they not also missed it? At Safa and Marwa, you hardly see them standing there. They've also missed it. Four places. Because the ulama mentioned seven places where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed long making dua. So the ulama say, if there is nothing at all about those places, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet should not have stayed there making dua for a long time. So they have missed these four. And then they are also going to miss the three jamarat because they don't know it. When you stand your jamaratul kubra on the first day of Yawm al-Nahar, the 10th day of Zulhijjah, you are supposed to wait. As you stone, you face the Qibla, you make dua for yourself, it will be answered by Allah's mercy. They don't use it. And on the other days of Qiyam al-Tashriq, they are also supposed to stand in Jamarat al-Sugra and wusta. They don't do it. They also miss those ones. So the seven places are missed. So the way he went to Hajj, that's the way he will come back. He missed all the places for Adikiyah. Because of what? Innovation. And then thinking that, so they now gather them. I have heard with my eyes, with my ears, and seen with my eyes. They gather the people on the day of Arafah between Zuhr and Asr, and then before they leave the place, they start making dua, shouting, this one donated $100, this one donated 50 riyal. May Allah bless her. If you don't donate, this is Arafah, Allah is seeing you. People start bringing their money. You know, hard currency. It's deception. They are deceiving the people. All these things are innovation. About 4 years ago, they did the launching of an fountain university that they are building on Arafah. Launching in Arafah. I was not told. I saw it and I heard them. I was seeing them like this. And I was hearing them with my ears. At the time, people are supposed to sit down, make adhkar, think about Allah, think about the messenger, think about how to better their deen when they return. So when they return, they still go back and start selling good and half. Because they never use the opportunity the Hajj provides. So all these innovations, nothing comes from them except love. Allahu Akbar. Aikum salam.
I want you to explain what you just mentioned to that delay somebody moving that for time. Considering the normal work that is supposed to be used, many things that you just mentioned now as regards how one goes and how ordinary environment. And considering and tradition, that how you want to explain it, I just want to explain where the Prophet Salam says, Alubatu. To raise his voice to this and took too much to bring down his voice. And for example, now I come to the masjid maybe I want to do something. Also, part of my dream, maybe I just want to read the book before the dark starts and read the Quran. At that instant, the decomposition for me to listen to the Quran when I don't have that urge for coming to the mosque, or how do I do it?
Well, if he's reading to himself, I think this was well explained. If he's reading alone, somebody is making tilawa of Quran, he should read to his hearing. Read to his own hearing. This is what the ulama say about loud and getting the voice to be loud. You can read to Shaykh al-Dua, Shaykh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd. He gave these instructions from the very beginning section. Gave very detailed explanations about the issues of raising the voice and things like this. And that's not away from the instructions of the Prophet to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab, while each of them performed nawafil from the verse in Surah al-Isra, towards the end of Surah al-Isra, taking from that verse. And also from the verse in Surah al-Ahzab, and following the explanation of Aisha radiallahu anha, that those who go to excess are those who raise their voices when they make adhkar. So but someone comes into a masjid and the people are listening to the qira'ah of a qari like this, the masjid. If someone comes in, perhaps he's not intending what they intend. If he's able to go on with whatever he wants to do, he wants to read Sahih Bukhari, let him be reading his Sahih Bukhari. The people should go ahead, because what they are reading and listening to is mosque-wide. If it is not mosque-wide, we can tell the person to lower his voice. If you come into a masjid and you see the people listening to the Quran like that, even when you had not intended that, if you can do what you want to do, go ahead, do what you want to do. But if you can't, listening to them is also zalika khair. Also from Khairat, they have even better than that, because this is the last book. Allahu Akbar. Alaykum As-Salaam.
Then on this Hadith, you're talking about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, 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 and most of the people are all people. So don't bring Qiyam away when you raise your voice a little bit, it's detection of the system. You're not decided to say you're going to be silently. Can someone decide to read it silently?
Yes, someone can decide to read the Quran silently if he's making nawafil. If he's making nawafil, can read silently. That he's reading silently to follow the instructions of the Prophet. That instruction does not indicate that he should read silently. No, perhaps the use of silence is the matter here. We have mentioned that when we make azkar, the basic rule is that we make the azkar, each of us make the azkar to his own hearing. He makes the azkar to his own hearing. So he's reading the Quran in tahajjud to his own hearing. If somebody is performing the salah, we can read to the person's hearing too, because it's expected to be following the salah. And this has happened in many of the tahajjud, when the companions of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about 8 of them at different times, from them Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, from them Abdullah ibn Abbas, from them Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from them Abdullah ibn Umar, and 4 others that I can't remember. Different times they performed tahajjud with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In that of Huzayfa ibn al-Yaman, he told us he read Baqarah, Ali Imran, and Surah al-Nisa in one single rak'ah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. If he was not hearing it, how did he know what he was reading? So that's if you are reading it to people. You read to their own hearing too. But if you are reading alone, you are alone. You read to your hearing, you would have fulfilled the requirements in that verse. Because you would not have been loud, and then you would not have been effectively low. But generally also for nawafil, the ulama gave permission also for making nawafil silently. In fact, they say if that is what will bring greater concentration, then read silently. Or that one hears that there can be some issues of riyah, which can destroy the ibadah in itself, fear for himself, and then just read, make the recitation to be silent. Allahu alam. Jazakallah khair. Alaykum as-salam.
As regards the hadith you explained on the issue of when we cook, in the morning or in the night, I think in the night, that the Prophet said, I want to ask the question that is, does the hadith there, because of the way you mentioned,
that it brings, it sees the malaika?
Now, that doesn't mean that it says that you use the state of the hadith that you are asking Allah for his rahmah, or it's saying that you just need dua in the night.
It's all of it. Because malaika do not go to an environment except that there is khair there. That's why that's one of the evidences that it is not permissible to hang pictures in the house. And Imam al-Nawawi brought it back from that, alayhi rahmatullah. That what it meant is that hanging the picture is an act of sin. So the angels do not go to a place where sin is done. So it meant in the opposite and from other ahadith, that they go to places where khair is done. So when it says, okay, Christ sees an angel, then it means that the circumstance, the hal, the condition is one that is nice. First, they run away from those kind of conditions. That is, they run away from conditions that evil are perpetrated. You understand? So you can do it for that condition, that this condition is a nice condition. Like someone finishes performing Hajj, it's a nice condition for you to make dua. Someone finishes performing a nice act of ibadah, it's a nice opportunity. Our finish is seeking forgiveness from Allah. It's a nice opportunity for making dua. So all the conditions of goodness and obedience to Allah are conditions wherein dua are answered because of the general healthy situation that such things bring. So you can ask because there's rahmah, you can ask because yes, there are other things that make us understand that the situation is nice. Allahu Alam. Alaykum As-salam.
As regards to the issue where I don't need to do this much, I don't know how true or how authentic that is. I've been having the issue of maybe one of the Sahaba that normally makes the Uthuwa during the Zakra and the Zakra, and he was kind of a dramatic behind me. I don't know how true it is.
The story is weak, very weak, perhaps fabricated. It's in Al-Bidayah and Nihayah. That Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul was always giving the sermon before the Prophet. If I went to the Prophet and said, go ahead, he always gives sermon before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of Jumu'ah in Medina. Don't forget that Abdullah ibn Ubayy ibn Salul was a munafiq. Not even if it is not, if it is considered authentic. Do you take evidence from the action of a munafiq, or do you take evidence from the prohibition of Allah's Messenger? This does not serve evidence in any way, whether it is authentic or not. It is not authentic. It is proven not to be authentic. It's unfortunate that some of the people like to do something and they are looking for evidences. They did not find any except the action of a munafiq. Allahu Allah. There is also some of what they say. Maybe I should say some of these too. They say that Abu Huraira kana yuhaddithu an-nasa yawm al-jum'ah qabla al-khutbah. That Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu will give hadith to people. There are several explanations the ulama gave to that. The first explanation is that there is nothing that says that Abu Huraira is aware of this hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. There is nothing that says so. Especially when you consider the fact that Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went, he was sent to Medina, but he soon came back into Medina. But from the early times of Islam, people like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had gone to Ifriqiya, they came to Africa from the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. From the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, people like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he came with his father to Africa. And they had started the jihad from Misr to other North African countries. It is not impossible that Abu Huraira is not aware of the hadith. Not every companion of the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is aware of everything that the Prophet said. So that is one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is that the Prophet says the Prophet prohibited it alayhi salatu wasalam. Nobody will make it halal. Nothing can make it halal again except another statement from the Prophet Muhammad. Because the Prophet is ma'asoon. The prophet is never erring regarding the message. Any other person can err regarding any aspect of Islam. But don't take this for a misunderstanding that companions err. A companion will err, but the companions as a group of people, do not err. The companion as a group of people never err. But a companion can err. The companion, a single companion can err because it's not a messenger. But all of the companions, the group of the companions cannot err because he said, La tajtami wa ummati ala dalala. So that's the evidence that they as a group cannot err. But as individuals, a person can err. Even when the person was alive, alayhi salatu wasalam, a companion can err. And he'll be corrected. So that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu did something that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had prohibited us, it's not evidence that we should do it. Talha ibn Ubaydillah radiallahu anhu, he considers ice as not breaking the fast. If somebody is fasting, you can be taking ice, blocks of ice. Talha ibn Ubaydillah is a companion. He considered it that it's halal to take blocks of ice. Come on, I don't know, it's haram, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with water. But now, do you say because Talha radiallahu anhu, you take ice, then you take ice? Do we understand? So a single companion can err about a matter, but all of the companions cannot all err. As a group of people, as a jail, you can't. But as 1, 2, 3 persons, you can err. But if you find the statement of a single companion and you do not find the statement of any other one, to follow that single one is better for you than to follow your own intelligence. So that action of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is not evidence. The evidence is in the statement of Allah's Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. Alaykum as-salam. So to make the khutbah is haram. It's not permissible. Allah didn't send anybody to do that. That someone has a sincere intention does not make an evil action to be correct. The guy is making zina. He said, please don't make zina. No, I'm sincere. He said, sincere? With zina? At least, I'm relieving the psychological tension of those men who she commits zina with. You say, how can you be relieving somebody's psychological tension when you are not his wife? So the same way we say to them, at least people are benefiting. You know, when they come to the mosque, you can make them, you want to make somebody benefit from what you have been prohibited. They will not be punished for your pre-khutbah, but you will be punished for your own pre-khutbah, thinking that you want to benefit the people. And you know what? Brothers, most of those pre-khutbah, Allah has removed his barakah from it. So they talk the same thing with the khutbah of Jummah that is prolonged. So they prolong, they'll be talking. On the day of Jummah. The day of Jummah, the khutbah of the Jummah is not a dars. It's not a ta'aleem. That's why it is called khutbah. You never read any hadith where it is called ta'aleem. Even when people can gain knowledge from it. It is khutbah, admonition, brief. Just tell the people, wake up. Don't sleep. Brief. And make the salah long. Today is reverse. Salah is inna atayna kal-kawthar. Khutbah is the hours. Some people will make khutbah, they will faint on the minbar. You've not seen it before in this Kaduna? That people are making khutbah and they faint on the minbar? It's happened in this Kaduna. People make khutbah and they faint on the minbar. Who faints on that one? So when it's on the minbar, you'll be threatening, who is born down Nigeria, who will do this, who will kill us at Allah on the day of Jummah? So some of all these things does not have any basis in the Sharia. From that also is writing khutbah and distributing khutbah, reading the khutbah like you are reading Arba'in al-Nawawi. It's an innovation, it does not have any basis in the Sharia. People write khutbah, then print it and distribute it. So as the Imam is reading, they are looking at it. Let me tell you, many people have been praying Jummah, but they don't have reward for Salat al-Jummah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and one of his companions, they were seated on the day of Hijjumah. So one of them touched something. So after that, to Juma, I'm not forgetting, it was the number two that was telling the second companion. He said, you know what happened to you today? You don't have Juma. If I'm not forgetting, it was Muad ibn Jabal. You know what? He said, no Juma for you. Why? So when the khutbah was going on, you touched something. And it said, Waman master hafa fahad laga. The one who touches the pebbles, laga, he wasted his Juma. So how is that? How about somebody deliberately opening the pages of anything? Is it not lagat? Many wastage. Unfortunately, they are thinking that they are doing something that is correct. They don't have any basis in the Sharia. Since khutbah is significant, very tired khutbah. Telling the khutbah to send naira. All those things don't have any basis in the Sharia. So if people don't, Islam has come. The Prophet alayhi salam was alone. Today they are about 1.2 to 1.4 billion Muslims in the world. Is he alone? So do you think that he came alone to teach us how to perform Salah and Zakah and does not have to teach us how to make the Sunnah hour? If we remain the way it has taught us to do things, Islam will move ahead, Muslims will make benefits, and people will understand Islam as it should be. But when people want to make shortcuts and corners, then people will understand any other thing thinking that it is Islam. It will not bring any benefit to them. Because it is not the length of speech that convinces the listening mind. It is Allah that brings the hidayah. It may just be just 5 minutes. It may be 2 minutes. It may be just 1 minute. It may even be just a single kalima that changes everything. Khutbatul Hajjah, we told us that hadith. At the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, a Muslim and a non-Muslim had a disagreement regarding the matter, and they invited the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to judge the matter. The Prophet said alayhi salam, when the matter was narrated to him, he said, "Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu, wa nasta'inuhu, wa nastaghfiru, wa na'udhu," and he started saying those things in Khutbatul Hajjah. The non-Muslim was saying, "Please, is this your Lord you are praising like this?" That is why he accepted Islam. So all these things you are saying, you are praising Allah. Whether somebody is in the masjid sleeping, they go and stand him and wake him up and tell him that you must perform this tahajjud together. It's not known in the Sharia. It does not have any basis. Someone who is tired to relax. You haven't made it obligatory that somebody has to perform tahajjud in the night, in the month of Ramadan. He's tired too well. He wants to pray. You want to see that? You want to pray? But someone sits down, you can't say no. Badaka Zina, Baralampa. Say, Kari Salah. From where is that? From which deen is that? I don't know that it's in the Sharia. Ikhwan, do you know that a kafir that has inclinations to Islam is allowed to stay in the masjid? The hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im. Jubair ibn Mut'im was a kafir. He was a kafir in Medina. He said when he was walking all around, he just said that he was tired. He was looking for somewhere to relax. He came and sleep in the masjid of the Prophet. Sleeping. They were performing Salatul Maghrib. And the Prophet was reciting Surah Al-Tur. He said, when he woke up, when he was hearing Surah Al-Tur, the first thing that came to his mind was to accept Islam. So today, even Muslims are not allowed to sit down in the masjid. You must join the Karatu. So all those things don't have any basis. How much more people who are outside the masjid? People can have their own hijab. So what did you know? You have to do this. You have all those ilzamat. You don't have any basis in the Sharia. So Islam is what Allah and His Messenger has legislated. Or have legislated. But that some people legislate what they want and say it must be from Islam. Allah does not accept anything like that. That's why he told His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam to tell us that man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna huwa radd. So let anybody say, no, you can gather to read Quran. At least we are preventing them from going to native doctor. Who tell you to prevent them to go to native doctor like something that has been prohibited that's not basis in the Sharia? Do we understand? Can you say somebody is worshiping three gods? I say no, don't worship three, worship only two. You're worshiping two gods, don't worship three, because three is many. Worship only two. You are the one who is worshiping three gods and the one who is worshiping two. Is there any difference in them? So you said people will go to some malam inside they'll be doing things that are innovative to them. And you bring another innovation. Is there any difference in the two of you? So you don't replace innovation except with sunnah. And something cannot be sunnah except it has a basis in the Sharia. Hadith, Quran, Jariyan Amal Salaf al Saleh. Allah understand. We are supposed to read the hadith of Tamim today. What is the seventh hadith, al hadith al-sabi' in Arba'un of al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. Subhanallah. Okay. This hadith has been reported by a companion who was a Christian, radiallahu anhu, Tamim Abu Ruqayyah, Tamim ibn Awf al-Dari, radiallahu anhu. Tamim was a very beloved companion to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ninth year of Hijrah with his brother Na'im. His Tamim, he came with his brother Na'im to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But he had something that is so specific and exclusive to him alone. In this ummah, nobody saw Masih Dajjal except Tamim. Al-Masih Dajjal, that will come at Akhir Zaman, Akhir Waqt. Nobody saw him face to face except Tamim ibn Aus. He saw him at that time, he was a Christian. He came to Medina and became a Muslim. Meanwhile, because he came in the ninth year of Hijrah, the Prophet had been telling the people, alayhi salatu wasalam, about Masih Dajjal. He had been telling the people about Masih Dajjal. So when Tamim met Dajjal, he met Dajjal, Allah wanted him to meet Dajjal. Because it was some accidental. They were traveling on the sea. Then there was wind. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. There was strong wind. So the wind began to carry their sheep and they lost direction and then they found themselves on an island. He said, radiallahu anhu, that when they embarked or disembarked their boats, they saw an animal, they saw a creature, huge. The creature is referred to as Jasafa. We are not talking about Masih Dajjal. We are talking about Tamim. Don't forget. So they saw a creature called Jasafa because he mentioned its name. It mentioned its name later. Tamim said, radiallahu anhu, that it was so hairy that he cannot recognize its frontal aspect away from the back. He can't say this is his face, this is the back. So then, so he said, I'm Jasafa. So what is Jasafa? He said, what is Jasafa? I said, don't ask me questions. If you want to be asking questions, there is somebody tied down there, go and be asking that one. Tamim said, when he said there is somebody, he said he felt that he is not a human being. Because if he's a human being, he will not say like you, someone like you, yeah. He said, so Jasafa left, and they left Jasafa. So they went to the place where he said, Tamim said, he had not seen a creature, radiallahu anhu, he had not seen a creature as giant they saw it on the ground, tied and chained on the ground. They asked it, they started to ask the question. He was responding. He asked him that, has the messenger come from Makkah? He said, yes, the messenger has been raised. He asked them, has he moved to Medina? He said, yes, he has. He said, I said, the disciples disbelieved him. He said, yes, many disbelieved, but yet many followed him. Said, has he migrated to Medina, the land of palm trees? Tamim said, we said, yes, he has migrated to Medina, the land of palm trees. He said, it would have been beneficial that the Arabs accepted his message. So he was asking, he asked about the fountain somewhere in Palestine. He asked other questions. So when he finished asking, he now said to them that, Innani ana al-Masih al-Dajjal. I am al-Masih al-Dajjal. So when Tamim, radiallahu anhu, returned to land, to known land, he came to the Prophet Muhammad. He narrated all these incidences to the Prophet, and all what he had been narrating to the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, what the Prophet had been narrating to the people about Masih Dajjal. And they had actually believed him. Because the companions believed that it's from them, but now someone from them saw it. But they believed it not because they saw it. Radiallahu anhu. So this is evidence that those people who say that Masih Dajjal is strange, this hadith of Tamim refutes them. Those people who say that Masih Dajjal is not a human being, it's a system, this hadith of Tamim ibn Aus refutes them. Because Tamim saw the human being. If you say that it's a lie, you are denying the messenger of Allah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. You know why? When Tamim, radiallahu anhu, narrated to the Prophet, this another area of exclusivity for Tamim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was Salatul Asr. He called the Salah and after the Salah, he said, nobody should stand up. The Prophet said, Haddathani Tamim. There is no one the Prophet will say regarding a Haddathani companion. No. You make a hadith and a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet does not make the hadith from you. So the Prophet was saying, Haddathani. So we are saying, if you deny that Tamim saw Masih Dajjal, you are saying that the Prophet is a liar. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has included himself in the isnad of Tamim. So Tamim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the rest of the companions. If you deny this, you are saying the Prophet is a liar. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So it became something the ulama of hadith rely upon. They say, riwayatul akabir anil aswagir. The riwayah of more eminent from the less eminent. The riwayah of the more eminent is Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The less eminent is Tamim. Because the Prophet narrated and said, Haddathani Tamim. Radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet was telling the people what Tamim had told him regarding Masih Dajjal. So Tamim was very beloved. The Prophet loved him alayhi salam. He was a Christian before. How we hope that other Christians to accept Islam. So he came, he accepted Islam in the ninth year of Hijrah. And by the end of that year, the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam, in the tenth, early period, around Rabiul Awwal, the Prophet died. So he stayed a very little time with the Prophet, alayhi salam, compared to other companions. But before the Prophet died, he had memorized the Quran. Radiallahu anhu. Tamim. He memorized the Quran before the Prophet died. Because one of the companions was saying that from amongst those who memorized the Quran at the time of the Prophet, he was mentioning Ubay, he mentioned Salim, he mentioned some other companions, and then he mentioned Tamim. It shows how, they say, Al-Khabaru, Laysa Kal-Mu'ayyana. That you heard something is not like you see. The fact that Tamim saw Dajjal, and then people have been talking about Dajjal, no doubt would have played a great role in his zeal and interest about Islam. So he memorized the Quran. And he was mentioned to be kafir al-kira'a wa tilawa. Always is reading the Quran. Always. Tamim. Radiallahu anhu. Always reading the Quran. Always Quran. Always Quran. Wa kafir al-kira'a. He was mentioned also always standing in the night making tahajjud. Always standing in the night making tahajjud. So when Uthman ibn Affan was killed, Tamim radiallahu anhu, he left Medina and went to Sham. You know, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, إذا ظهر الفتنة الإيمان بالشام. When the fitna comes, Iman will be in Sham. So he acted and then he went to Sham. He died in Sham. He died in Palestine. In the 40th year of Hijrah. The year before Amul Jama'ah. The year of the handover of Hassan ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. So this was how the eminent companion, radiallahu anhu, Tamim, lived his life, summarily. He lived his life as a very learned person. So when he got to wherever he got to, it was Quran. People come learn Quran from him. Look at that short period. He accepted Islam. Before a year and about 3 months, he memorized the Quran and became so conversant with it. And his kunya was Abu Ruqayya. Ulama said that was the only child he had. Tamim had only Ruqayya. So he was named Abu Ruqayya. He had only one child called Ruqayya. So this is from the exceptions. Else, kunas are taken after male children or any other thing. The kunya are basically taken after male children or any other thing, like Abu Zaid, Abu Omar, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdurrahman. But there are people like him bore Abu Ruqayya. In the kind of generation that he bore Abu Ruqayya, is indication for the permissibility of taking a female name for the kunya, even when the best is to take the male name for the kunya or any other thing for which you are known. Like Abu Huraira was known with his hair, with his cap, and for that he was known. Even when he prefers radiallahu anhu to be referred to as what, Abu Hir, not Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira himself prefers to be referred to as Abu Hir, radiallahu anhu, rather than Abu Huraira. But he's been popular with what? Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. So that shows that we can take kunya with names of male names, most preferable, female names, permissible, and then the names of any other thing. If we go into this hadith today, we will not be able to finish it. But I think it suffices that we have mentioned the companion of the hadith, and that was Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn Aus al-Jari, and the fact that he was so beloved to the Prophet Muhammad, and that from all human beings we know, the one we know who has met al-Masih al-Dajjal face to face was Tamim ibn Aus al-Jari, radiyallahu anhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. When we were talking about the iman of the companions, about the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about something they have not seen, and despite the fact that they have not seen that thing, they still believe it. What about those ones that they saw? Will they not believe it? Of course they did. What they did not see, they believed. The one that they saw, is that the one they will not believe? Radiallahu anhu. So, something came to the mind. But when Allah says that, يَلْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَةِ, Allah will destroy riba, and He will nurture charity. And we are seeing riba failing. Isn't mankind seeing today that riba is failing it? Mankind is seeing riba is failing. And yet there are some Muslims who still say, in fact, and that's where I'm going. Ahmed Mahmoud Gumi said, he wrote to me, Ahmed Mahmoud Gumi, that they refer to as a sheikh, sent an email directed to me, but seen by others, saying in it that didn't Allah say, didn't Allah say that yamhaqullahu riba? And yet we are seeing economies of the Western countries that is based on riba. We are seeing it flourishing. He said, so it is flourishing. Muslims are making benefits. So don't say that it is haram. We understand. So is Allah lying when he says yamhaqullahu riba? Allah will destroy riba. You say Allah will destroy riba. Are we people not making? So because people live in houses that you can refer, how many people make suicides a day? The man doesn't know much about what he himself is saying. He doesn't know much about himself. How many people die annually in the Europe and Western world from suicides daily? For whatever reason. Because they're tired, they feel that they're tired. So what success has really brought to them? Do we understand? Someone has all the money of river. Yes, there is no problem of NEPA. There is no problem of water. But yet, it's not happy. And yet, the people who have problem of NEPA, problem of water, they are still feeling there is hope in life. So who has really succeeded? See, those are the things. So because people enjoy air condition, they have more problems than they think that the people have in other parts of the world. But aside from all that, does it not surprise that Allah says, Ya Hakullah Riba Yuri Sadaqa, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy riba and he will nurture charity? Does it not suffice for a Muslim to believe that yes, whether it appears that riba is succeeding or not, Allah will destroy it? What did he say? Did he not say, La yaghurrannaka taqallubu allatheena kafaru fil bilad mata'un qaleel? Don't be deceived. Look at don't be deceived. People like Gumi are deceived now. Ahmad Gumi, who comes here every Ramadan, is deceived. He's deceived. He said worse than that, Ikhwan. He said that the same thinking, the same falsafa, that we are saying that democracy is bad, democracy is bad. We are seeing democratic countries, they are having stability, they are having growth and progress, that the kind of which we did not have at the time of Khulafa ur-Rashidun. Wallahi, he said that. He's even defending it. Yesterday, he sent some mails again. He said, you don't understand what I'm saying. Let me tell you what I'm saying. He said, I say democracy is better. It's a government that has brought greater stability and progress to mankind. More than the kind of what we had at the time of Khulafa. Change that democracy with transportation. That today we have better transportation system than we had at the time of the Prophet. They change it with medical health. That today we have better health than we had at the time of Khulafa. He said, change it with, you know, so you bring all the indices of governance. I say, okay, don't say Khulafa, say Prophet. Don't say Khulafa or Rashidun. Say at the time of the Prophet Muhammad. Then how can he be wa innaka la'ala khulqin adhim? How? How can the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions be kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat linnas? How? How can he become? How can we say khairun nasi qarni thumma alladhina yaluna thumma alladhina? How can this khairiya? How can it be that the best human being, the best leadership was the leadership of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Michael Hart is a kafir who listed the first 100 men, the first 100 most successful human beings, Michael Hart. The first person was who? Muhammad. For Gumi, Muhammad will be the last person. He will be the last person. So George Bush is better in leadership. The leadership of Bush was better than that of Harun, India, or Rosu. The one who traveled to the heavens to discuss with Allah. Ibrahim a.s. is Khalil al-Rahman, Musa a.s. is Kalimullah, but Allah spoke to Musa on earth. Musa was here. He brought Muhammad, they brought the seven heavens to talk to him. And this is the one he is comparing, and he is comparing his companions with democracy. So something is really wrong with the man in his head. So you start wondering, where is the Iman? Anyone who has true Iman will not say this kind of a thing. And when you are reminded that, look, do you know the implication? You start saying, no, let me explain to you what I mean. I did not make a mistake. You start giving all these stuff to laugh. So people are drunk. Unfortunately, when they come, they are ignorant, useless people start running after their love. Uselessly. People whose heads should be cut off. Because in the rules of Sharia, this is what they will say. We are not saying we will go and start cutting Gumi's head. But we are saying that if we are in the rules of Sharia and he says what he says, this is what will happen to him. So, you wonder where is the Iman? Where is the Iman controlling what comes from the mouth? Where is it? Where is it? But if somebody is a child of a learned person, does not mean he will enter Al-Jannah. Let him not be deceived by that. Someone said that to him. If someone is the child of a scholar, my father and a scholar, he doesn't take you to Al-Jannah on the day of Qiyamah. He says, Daraballahu lakum, daraballahu masalan lil-ladhina amanu امرأة نوح امرأة فرعون بفدع تضرب الله مثلا للذين كفروا امرأة نوح وامرأة لوط كانتا تحت عبدين من عبادنا صالحين فقامتاهما because the words of the prophet of Allah did not do anything to them. نبي نوح son. And such that when Allah spoke to Noah عليه السلام, it was his statement that he said you have to seek refuge in Allah. He said, Rabbi, إِنَّ ابْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِي وَإِنَّ وَعَدَكَ الْحَقُّ وَأَنْتَ أَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. فقال يا نوح إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَنْ تَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. قال ربي إِنِّي أَعِذُكَ أَنْ أَسْأَلَكَ مَا لَيْسَ لِي بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Ulama said that in the case that he's asking Allah about his son was a sin. That's why he was saying, "Wa illa tughfirni wa tarhamni akum min al-khasin." So he considered it a sin to have asked that question in the first place. The son of a Nabi. Or you compare Nuh alayhi salam to Sheikh Mahmoud Gumine. So people should know their limits. Better than a scholar, it does not come there on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet told this to Fatima. Salini Mashit, ask me now what you want. Because on the day of Qiyamah, my father is Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's not there. Your Iman. What he said is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So let people like Gumi not be deceived. And really, Ikhwan, these kind of things make you doubt. Are people really true to Shahada? Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Someone believes that Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and then he will say this kind of thing. And if it does not stop, we have said you should change it to the Prophet Abi. You will see that he will say it one day. Yes. He will say it one day. If it does not stop at this, you will see he will say it one day. He will say something worse than that about the Prophet Muhammad. You will see. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Because people get, you know, worse when they perpetrate evil. Someone kill somebody today. You think he's now afraid the way he was before he killed that one single person? If he kills today again, tomorrow, do you think he gradually becomes nothing to him? There was a day, there's a tribe in Southwest. Southern Nigeria, specifically Ogoni, because this is around where I grew up, around the South Town. So we're talking to one of them that, is it true you eat people? We say, yes, they eat people. And you, I asked him, have you eaten somebody before? He said, yes, he has eaten somebody before. I said, tell me how you kill the people and you prepare them. Wallahi, he was describing how they prepare it. How they would kill somebody, how they put the person in the drum. How the skin, he said this skin is like mama. He said if you put it in a goosey, so you start to imagine the animalism in him, the barbarism in him. But you will not see any sense of remorse. He said the sweetest part of human beings are their buttocks and their bottoms. They are buttocks and their laps. He said, but for women, he was mentioning parts of women that, according to him, are sweetest and nice to eat. So you see now, this kind of a person, do you think he will find it hard to kill somebody? Even if he will not eat that person. The same thing applies. When someone is free, thinks he has a free mind to talk about the companions, to talk about Quran like this, to talk about things like this, you will see what will end him in the way and in the kind of things that he will say about Allah and his messenger. We seek Allah's refuge from the evil of this kind of people. As-salamu alaykum. Alaykum as-salam.
In a case which is being told in Quran of a case of audio case, I saw what I worked there. I saw a case written as Tennessee as a topic. So I borrowed and went home to listen to it. And it was the
speaker.
So I listened. All what I could get from the little time I listened to was empathy negating the claim of those who call themselves as Palestinians. Very empathic among them, negating their claim, trying to say they are they are nothing but some error. So I mean that they are doing the same for fire.
If somebody has malaria and he tastes honey and says, "Say this honey bitter," what will you say to him? He says, "Because you are sick." So that is the answer for him. Say, "Oh, this honey is bitter. It's bitter." And people say, "Ah, sorry, it's because you are sick." Everybody thinks honey is bitter. Oh, honey. Allah Ustaz. Now. Alaykum
As-salam. I have a question pertaining to the issue of the Quran.
MashaAllah.
To recite, you know that you tell that person to recite like in a good manner. They recite all, but that means just pick up and you are just forced to
listen. That they told them to recite is basically what is known. What is known in the Asar is that the companions will tell one of them, "Read to us the Quran," and the rest of them will sit down and listen. This is what is known. But I do not know whether any of them just stand up and start reading. If they are reading, there are also cases where the rest will go and sit down to listen to the Qira'ah. He's reading, they listen. So as they get more, he increases his voice. That's not also wrong. Allah Akbar. These are the ones that I can remember now. But from Zikr al-Jama'i, like he said, Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, is Majalisul Halal wal Haram. Sitting where halal and haram is discussed. It's from Majalisul Zikr al-Jama'i. So you are doing those things collectively. You understand? Alaykum As-salam.
Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was told by the Prophet to recite the Quran for him.
What is known, Allahu Alam, is that of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abu Musa, I do not know. Like in Abdullah ibn Mas'ud now, and he read portions in Surah to Musa. I do not know the narration. Somebody was talking. Maybe it's a slip of tongue. So when people talk, they make mistakes. Okay, Faiza. The Inaka, the Haula. It's Abdullah ibn Masud. Because Abdullah ibn Masud.
So I learned that word now. I don't really understand that word. That why is he crying? Even he cried.
The verse. He will be brought as a witness to other people. Allah Ha'ula Ijamiya. The situation of witnessing is a matter. He will have to witness over the people. The big responsibility. That's what makes him cry. No other things made the companions to cry, or the Tabi'un, or those who came after them. The Prophet took those tears for the hugeness of the responsibility of testimony over people on the earth, witnessing over the people. Alaykum As-salam.
The
Well, it's one Arafah, and he mentioned the time, and at Muzdalifah, jump, and we mentioned the time too. At Safa, Marwa, that of Safa, Marwa, all of them anyway, will require facing the Qibla. But that of Safa, when you stand on the Safa, you'll be looking at the Kaaba. When you stand on Marwa, you'll be looking at the Kaaba. This for now, then the three Jamrat. Alaykum As-salam.
Along with some,
If they all agree, there is nothing wrong about it. They agree that that's what they should do. Even if they see this, they will make the person stand up and go out of the door. There is nothing wrong about it. If they make the person stand up and go out of the booth, there is nothing wrong about it. Some of those who came before us sent people out of their lessons or stopped giving lessons to things that you consider lesser than that. One of the grandchildren of Saad ibn Abi Waqqas lived up to the time of people like Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. When he came to Baghdad, he was seeking to give hadith, teach them hadith that he had heard from his father or from his grandfather, Allahu Alam. Very elderly. When he came to the masjid, he saw that it was children who were in the front. The elderly people were behind. So what kind of knowledge is that, that the elders are put behind and the children are in front? Allahu hadithukum illa ba'da sana. I will not teach you before any hadith until after 1 year. He died before the end of that year. So they didn't hear anything from him. So learning in the sittings of learning have adab. That the prior students did not take it easy with not following those adab. Because in their thinking, and that is what is right, those adab help in making the learning itself to have barakah. To have Allah's blessing, impact in the life of the teacher and the listener. So if perhaps the adab of learning and sitting, learning and all these have been disturbed, and yet people go on flouting, they say, if you do this, just like if you are late to class, you go back home. I do not see anything that's strange about it. Allahu Alam. You had mentioned things like that. Perhaps you had not arrived. Do not compel people to wait for Italian. You do not compel the people to wait. The Prophet didn't compel people, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was giving those like that. Some people came into the masjid. Three of them. One came, he sat down with the Prophet, alayhi salam. One came, he sat away from the Prophet. One came, he turned away. Go who sat away? Did he tell you, hey, don't lose that guy here? Did he say that? Even when he made statements that anyone who heard it, we want to say, hey, so the one who turned away from someone, Allah turned away from him. Imam Ibn Abi Rabah meant that he turned away from Allah's mercy. The one who stayed away from the mercy. The one who came close to the mercy. Those are difficult words. Where did he say, oh, the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his loincloth was at the height of the heads of human beings. He's so tall. Ibn Kathir described him, and he's from the Qudam of the Prophet, from people who served the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those giants, did he say, oh, you bundle that guy here? Didn't say that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Oh, you bundle that one. Like people bundle people today. Or they say, go out of the masjid. Only half on the Hawaii. He doesn't feel that he needs to join the Durus. Even when joining the Durus is better for him. Maybe he doesn't feel like joining. Is there anything that says he must join? If there is, bring it. Do you understand? I think we have had enough of questions. Today, most of what we had done was just asking questions. And initially, I just thought we should just have a word or two about reading the Quran, but it became like the order of the day. We ask Allah to accept it as a matter of worship, to forgive us our mistakes and our shortcomings, make us better Muslims. Kullu ma qul hadha wa astaghfiru lillahi wa lakum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.